everybody. This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another podcast. I'm very happy to be joined by Rinaldo Deitziker and Christy Sakai from We Are Very, from California, United States. And this would be our episode number 65. I'm very happy that you guys are joining me in episode number 65. And it's coinciding with the launch of We Are Very in the United States. So welcome to the channel, Rinaldo and Christy. Glad to have you with me. And I just want to, before we get started, if you don't mind, on this channel, we say everybody's got a story, the localization story. So we'll start with Christy. Christy, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're located, and your localization story, and then we'll go to Rinaldo.
Sounds good. Thank you for having us today, Robin. My name is Christy Sakai, and I don't actually know where my story starts in terms of localization. I think maybe started when we started moving around quite a bit. So I was born in Japan, but I grew up in different places, including the US, which is where I'm based now, but also in the UK, and I eventually then moved to Germany and then Switzerland. So that all kind of rolls into where my background in localization started. And but actually, yeah, how I really started the career is more of an accident. So I had my first job was at a record company. And back then we had like CDs with liner notes, and there was always special edition Japanese CDs with liner notes that needed translating. So I started doing that on the side as a student, and that kind of drew me into this industry. And eventually I was in Berlin. And the agency that I was freelancing for, which was actually a international copywriting agency, they asked me to join as a project manager. So I kind of was doing, yeah, little bits until I ended up in localization, which wasn't called localization back then. We called it international marketing. But when I moved to Switzerland, I discovered Supertext, and I realized that was an area that I could grow in. So that's where I started with the company.
Absolutely. Thanks for this introduction, Christine. Thanks for the background. I really appreciate it. Rinaldo, what's the story for you on your side?
All right. You want the long or the short version?
However you prefer it. It's over coffee conversation, whatever you prefer.
I see. Yeah, so I basically was a copywriter, you know, in advertising in Switzerland, Zurich. That was, I think I got started like 1997 or something. So it was basically the end of the madman era, you know, where we still were drinking and smoking in the office and all that. And well, it was a very cool time. It took me about like 7-8 years, I think, in the advertising world, going up from a junior copywriter to a copywriter. And then I needed a little break. I had been coming back and then got a freelance copywriter job at an institute for entrepreneurs. But they asked me to rewrite their website. And so I think doing a little research and going to a business plan workshop. So, and then sat in this room with like 20 people, and they all had an idea for a business. And I thought, man, that's really cool. I can do that too. So I started to come up with like ideas for a company. And the company name then was Supertext, and was basically trying to do a multiplication of myself, because I already got a lot of requests. Hey, can you rewrite this? And so I launched Supertext as a copy editing service together with my brother and a school friend. And we put that online, I think, in February 2006. And on the second day, we got some internet order. Someone wanted to rewrite the copy. And since Switzerland is a country with four official languages, it really was like kind of inevitable that we got into different languages. And so Supertext grew into more and more into like a language service provider. But we never saw the company really as a translation company. It was always more about like doing creative copywriting work in different languages. Yeah, so that grew pretty good. We expanded to Berlin. And in 2016, we decided it's time to conquer America and go to a global stage. So Christy and I went over to California, Silicon Beach, here in Los Angeles, and started, you know, building Supertext globally.
Well, congratulations on the growth. Congratulations on, you know, most of the companies start from basically nothing and they become a legacy, become a legend in our industry. And that's what I'm hearing about Supertext. And we are very in the new name, the new brand in the Americas. I really appreciate the background, Rinaldo. And for the audience, Rinaldo is the founder of both companies, Supertext, and we are very, that's what I'm hearing. And unless I'm wrong, Rinaldo, correct me if I'm wrong. And Christy is the CEO of We Are Very in the US. Well, congratulations to you both on the new company. Congratulations on the growth, on the success.
Very exciting.
An exciting day for you guys. I know I received your press release, and it says the first line, it says under embargo until May 7th. And coincidentally, it's May 7th today. So we are doing the recording on May 7th. This will be launched hopefully tomorrow or the day after on the podcast. But our audience will see that eventually in the next few days on the channel, which coincide with your public or official launch in the US. So let's talk a little bit more about We Are Very and the distinction between We Are Very and Supertext. If there is any, is it just simply a franchise or however you want to call it? In the US of Supertext, or is it a brand new company with a brand new set of services, et cetera? I'll let you explain that. Whoever wants to take that on. Who wants to take that on? Rinaldo or Christy?
Christy, go.
Yeah, maybe explain a little bit about the history and how this became what it is today. So yeah, as you mentioned, Rinaldo started Supertext in Switzerland. That's also where I joined the company. And I actually started as a language manager there. So very different role. And then after about 4 or 5 years, I was ready for a change. And not just of the company, actually least of all of the company, but of location. And so when we came out here to the US, to set up Supertext Creative, we first had to kind of localize ourselves and really get to know the market and the localization industry here. And as we kind of continued doing that, we realized that really our strength was in our roots, which is in copywriting and editing and international marketing. So we realized that's really where our strength is, especially in kind of the bigger industry of the US as opposed to where we came from, which is a smaller market. So we've continued to focus on that and really push that in terms of our services and our network and built a lot of things through that. While at the same time, our team in Switzerland continued their kind of path towards much more of a like corporate offering. And so this year, this is going back quite a few years now, but at the beginning of this year, there was a big change in Switzerland where they acquired or they merged with a company called Tech Shuttle, and they are kind of a machine translation specialist, of course, bringing in elements of AI now. And as a company, we decided, okay, there's clearly two strategic paths here. One is going down kind of the language technology tooling path with the MT focus, and our focus here, which is much more of a creative content driven multilingual and also multimedia path. So this became very clear that these are distinct strategies and directions. And that's kind of where we decided to make a much more distinct branding change. So we are kind of still Supertext USA Inc. The entity itself hasn't changed, but this is really a big rebranding and refocusing of our strategy into the more multilingual content creation space.
So capitalizing on what you've explained, Kristy, it sounds like the services are predominantly around content creation, a high-performing, as you called it, high-performing content creation.
Yeah, that's been our focus for a long time. But I think one of the interesting things that, I mean, obviously the last year has been a lot about AI disruption and, you know, where does this, what does this mean for the industry? What does it mean for linguists? Lots of different unknowns. And what we felt is that until actually that disruption happened, we had sort of two streams of business. One is really localization, of course, like much more focused on, like, yeah, as you said, high visibility, impactful content, but nevertheless, like in a localization process, sometimes also with just very diverse types of content. And then we had this other stream, which was content creation, copywriting, monolingual, usually focused on a specific market. And we see these two paths kind of merging more and more. So that's kind of the direction that we think the industry is heading in terms of localization, and where our services will also be adapting towards more and more. Instead of saying this is copywriting, this is localization, I think we'll see it becoming
100%. Rinaldo, anything you'd like to add on this?
Yeah, not really. I think Chris is just amazing and explained it really well. I think I also think, you know, like translation as a concept is maybe coming to maybe an end a little bit, you know. So I feel like in a time where you can create new native content for different audience almost at the same speed and cost, why would you just translate the words if you can basically create totally tailor-made content for different markets? I think if you compare translated copy to really created copy, or refined, or we call it refine, elevate, and create, I think it sounds more natural. It is more, you know, like targeted, and I think it, so that's what we see, is like it produces better results for the companies doing that. In the past, it has always been a huge investment, you know, like copywriters, really good ones, are expensive, and it takes a little longer, it takes a briefing and all that. But now with AI and all these technology coming in, the focus shifts also more towards the briefing. You know, like to get a good result out of the machine, you really need to tell the machine what you want. So, like, and I really like that shift. And I think in the hands of the right people, creative people, you know, and people who have really deep knowledge of markets, they can create amazing copy that really goes into.
So I guess the second question would be, is the market that you're trying to address in the US and globally in that matter, right? So great idea. I love the concept. In fact, I'm a big proponent of the philosophy that, you know, translation eventually will move into content creation versus transforming the content. We move from transforming the content to actually creating the content in language, which, you know, the ultimate purpose of why are we translating is because it was cost prohibitive initially to create content in the native language. And that's why we took a shortcut as globally. And then we said, okay, we're going to translate it. So if we are to use the concept, in fact, I'm going to tell you one anecdote I did just a few months ago. I went to ChatGPT-4 and I said, I want to create content in native language. I just want to try it. I'm a computer geek by design, I guess. I went to college and I studied computer science. So I created a little app, and exactly that it does what, you know, what you're describing. It creates content. Let's say I don't understand Korean. I want to create something in Korean. It creates it in Korean. Now I need to know if this is correct. I need to know if it's, you know, I mean, I'm not a linguist, but I'm trying to figure out, is this document correct? So I created another step within the prompt to reverse the, or back translate, if you will, from Korean to English, exactly the words that were in Korean. So it tells me, is this, you know, it gives me an idea. Is this correct? Yes or no? I do believe what you're saying, and the concept is absolutely timely. And the, in my opinion, and that's my humble opinion, and also with the technologies that they're coming online, specifically in AI, and we've talked about AI to death, I guess, at this point, as an industry, I think we should, you know, right now, embrace it, move on, deal with other things that's going to come out of it. Now, one of the things that we talk about here is for this particular offering that you have on the market, Rinaldo and Christy, is the market that you're trying to address. Are you trying to address it to LSPs? Are you trying to address it banks, insurance companies? Who is your market? So somebody's listening to this podcast now, say, okay, I like what I'm hearing. Who are these people, and what? How can I reach out to you, kind of thing? So Christy, you're on
Sorry,
mute.
Sorry, it's muted.
It's okay.
Yeah. So we've always had a really diverse range of clients. We haven't specialized in one industry or one area. I think the common thing, though, is that most often than not, they have been companies that are doing a lot of marketing, and we do a lot of the marketing content. So sometimes that's through the localization teams, where we work on all sorts of content, but, you know, the very high visibility, important, impactful content is the marketing piece. And that's where kind of our expertise comes in. Or it's actually marketing departments within companies. So this might be, you know, machinery or software or retail, fashion. But, you know, their marketing team is looking at global performance and global reach. So I would say those are probably the common theme throughout our clients, is that that's their focus. We also work for, you know, marketing agencies on campaigns, which are really fun.
We do. Or like startups, scale-ups, you know, like there's a lot of those companies who have been going through B rounds, you know, and then got a lot of money to expand globally quickly.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, you can just translate everything with a button. You need to think about like, to the market. So those are super interesting things from all kinds of like different backgrounds. So there's technology, fashion, you know, sports, whatever you can think of, everything that like really is looking to expand and grow globally. Those fast scaling companies, they work with us. And then of course the big multinationals who sometimes also work with a bunch of other translation companies already, and then we come in and refine their output or and on top create new things for them.
So Rinaldo, like just for our audience, now when you and Christy, you know, went through the thought process of putting, you know, a company like this together in the United States, you might have done some research. You know, what is the market size like? You know, is there any information on, you know, what is the possibility dollar wise from a, you know, from a market in the US perspective or the Americas for that matter? I mean, US and Canada are not that far apart. So have you done any research on this one? And what does it look like? What's the market size like?
Very good question. I think if you go to Slater and IMSI, I mean, those have like all the numbers ready. And I think the market in the US for the companies and the market in Europe is about the same, you know, like same size, big. Interestingly, most of the really global companies, like the TransPerfects and all of those, are mostly American companies. I think it's still a very fractioned landscape that we're looking at.
And yeah, I'm not talking about the translation market, Rinaldo. I'm just talking about the content creation market. The translation market, it's well covered by Nimzy and Slater, but for the content creation, excuse me if I did not explain it correctly, but for the content creation services that yours are offering, which is in itself, it's a very unique offering. I can't emphasize this enough, because your unique positioning here is none of the other companies are, they're still, while the industry is still trying to figure out what to do with AI, you're coming in and you're saying, I have this unique service, which, you know, probably the industry has not necessarily paid too much attention to because they're busy with other problems. But this is an opportunity. So from a content creation perspective, what is the market size for you guys? What is the pie? What's the size of the pie?
Go, Christy.
No, I think because we, as I said before, we've been working in the content creation space, like copywriting space. And there are, you know, our competition is other marketing agencies, other content like providers. The market is huge just domestically in the US for that. And I think what we're realizing is that there's a niche within that where we fit in, which is multilingual content creation. So we have copywriters, editors, SEO specialists in lots of different markets, which means brands don't have to engage those people in individual places. They can come to us. And I think this is our niche within the content creation space, because it's a very big space, the market for content creation, copywriting, marketing in general is
exploding.
Massive. And there's so many companies that do that, and they do it really well. But for us, our really unique offering is that you can have one-stop shop for the whole world for that.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit about the process, the model. How do you service your customers? How do you intend on servicing your customers? Is it by freelancers? Do you have internal resources? How do they conduct business with you? Is it through electronic means, or, you know, how does that work from a process perspective?
I mean, it's always starting with a briefing, you know. So we talk to people, actually. So we don't have like an, we have technology, a lot of technology, actually. We also partnering in this. We are very venture with Blackbird and BureauWorks. We evaluated all the different TMSs, and Gabriel's BureauWorks TMS really convinced us. It's an amazing piece of technology. And there you can, like, you know, for clients have portals and they can upload the documents and all that. So like it's a full service online offering too. But what's really interesting is like the conversations that happened before. The briefing is really important for us, and we have these conversations. We create these workflows together with the clients. We can customize. We are very flexible in the sense of, you know, adapting to platforms that the clients already use. And thanks to Blackbird, our other partner, that's really a connection platform that works a little bit like Zapier, but for the language and content industry. We can create any kind of like workflow and connect things together. So this is mostly like how we work with, you know, having a good conversation, and then setting something up that automates and as much as possible, so we can really focus on the work, on the words, you know.
And the work is done by your, I'm noticing you have like 3,000 freelancers that you work with, I guess, according to the website. Now, is there a employees internally? Do they do the management of that, or do they do the actual work?
Yes.
Just for the audience, I guess.
Yeah. So internally, our core team is our project management, account management team that really look after the client side. And then they work with our network of freelancers. We have an internal team of language specialists also. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mix of internal quality control, but having a team of dedicated copywriters and linguists for each client. And the way that works is really we start with, as Renato said, with conversations and a lot of testing. So for every client, we would put together a linguistic team, usually through some kind of casting process. So mm-hmm. that's when we, it's a little bit like auditions, I guess, where we try and find the most natural match.
That's
right. And there's obviously a lot to learn, and there's, you know, linguistic resources and style guides and things like that that can help. But we try and first find the right match and then go from there.
Absolutely. So. And you mentioned earlier, like the agencies that you're potentially your co-opetition in this case, mm-hmm. competition and your customers at the same time. Mm-hmm. If I was an agency, and just from a formula perspective, agencies tend to be a little bit more expensive in terms of how they charge their time to the customers. And, you know, maybe a company like yourselves can offer the agency that delta that still creates a good job, good work, and still creates profitability for the agencies to move work to agencies such as yourself. Now, I heard you mention, Christy, linguistic teams mm-hmm. as well. So there is a decision, I'm assuming, between creating the content in language or creating in English, then transforming it into language. Am I getting this correct?
Yeah, that's also something that's evolving right now, I think. So most localization teams are obviously set up to start with a source. And so that's kind of the basis for everything. It's also how a lot of the TMSs are set up. You need a source and then you can produce the target. And that setup is still very much embedded into processes. And I don't think, you know, that's going to change anytime soon. But there may be areas where it's not necessarily efficient or more efficient than, say, starting from a brief. And I think that shift will slowly start to happen. And it's something that we also are having conversations with our clients about, to say, like, you know, these things, like blog posts, maybe, you know, out of the 10, 5 are relevant across the world, but 5 are so specific that maybe it's better to just create those from scratch. And so how can we make that a process where these 10 blog posts can go through 2 different workflows, but be as efficient as it always has
Absolutely.
Been.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, now this is the first podcast, and I'm hoping and I wish this podcast will help you as much as it helped Bruno Peter from Blackbird when I did his podcast when he launched his on this channel. And mm-hmm. I love that conversation with him. And I'm loving this conversation with you guys. You're offering a very unique approach the other unique part about it is that you sense in the industry, you sense in the localization industry right now, there's a lot of, I don't want to say anxiety, but there's some bit of a stress around, you know, how mm-hmm. is AI going to impact the entire industry? And this whole thing, you know, from it's stemming from AI actually, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people are worried, is it going to keep the industry intact? Is it going to make it better, or is it going to, you know, take it away kind of thing? So, but here you go, you've got an opportunity, you created an opportunity in mm-hmm. the content transformation, in the content creation. And this is very unique, where everybody is, like, you talk to brokers who are, you know, in charge of selling companies, you see they're all busy now, you know, people are coming to them, hey, I want to sell my company. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to you guys, you're creating a new company, you're going the opposite direction, which is great. Positive message. This industry needs it. Now, why would somebody select We Are Very? I need to know, like, 2 or 3, maybe 5 key benefits for a customer to deal with you directly. Who wants to take that on? Rinaldo?
Yeah, sure. There are very good reasons to work with us. For, I think the what you said before, just let me mention that. So, like, I think you are very right. It's a time where people are looking for orientation in the localization industry, you know, and now we see the major shift from everyone to try to become a technology company. You know, people are let go, you know, like technology is moving in, and every LSP becomes to be, trying to become the new AI, whatever company, you know. And we think there is actually a space, and we want to create this space for people and creative talent that is dedicated to that. It doesn't mean that we don't work with AI, you know, like we use all these tools, but we don't have the intention to become that tool. I think that's the major distinction. And that's also the number one reason why clients work with us and should work with us, because we are very focused on the output, you know, the result that's coming out of everything. I think, you know, the audience, readers, customers, they don't care if something has been translated before or created from scratch. They just want to read something that's really amazing and convincing. And that's also what marketers want. They want like native content that works and clicks and gets the ROIs up. And we focus really on that and not on like a process or like the source or whatever. So I think that's the reason. And we also, I think, are in a really good size. We are still flexible. You know, we are not like 1,000 people, big apparatus. We are a creative company, an agency, and therefore really, really flexible in adapting to certain workflows. Yeah, I think that's the two main.
And you know, like, and you know, I love, you know, one of the thing that is a very indicative of the services that you're going to get from this company, from We Are Very, mm-hmm. is the name itself. And you started the conversation by saying you can put any word after We Are Very, and it should be applicable. Hopefully all positive words. And yeah. And this is what you want to see. You know, we're very accommodating. We're very customer focused. We're very quality focused, and the content creation in language, it's very unique. I know you are using different tools, and you may create things in English and translate it, or you may create it in other languages and translate it to another language. It doesn't necessarily need to start in English. However, the fundamental piece here, the fundamental core competency or core skill, is that content creation, and the content creation, you know, that it's, you're right, Ronaldo, that delivers results. You know, I coined a phrase here not too long ago on this channel: outcome-driven content. So the content that you spend money on creating as a customer needs to do a specific job, and whatever that job definition is, creating more clicks on the internet, you know, having more views, generating more revenue, selling more if you're a commercial website, etc. So it needs to deliver that results. And nobody in the right mind from a customer perspective or from an LSP perspective will spend money on a service that is not going to deliver the intended value or the intended results of that value.
Of course.
And you seem to have hit the nail on the head in terms of there is a lot of content being created out there. There's a lot of content being translated out there. The question mark remains, is it delivering the value that is intended to deliver? And you guys, you know, if you combine that, and I'm sure you do, if you combine that with some measurement tools around, here's the ROI that we can deliver on your content, you're already there. Christy, comment?
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I think there has been some, well, I think one of the unique points, going back to why would people come to us, I think the understanding of what content does and what marketing is for, and also just how to then use language in a way that's persuasive. That approach comes from our roots in copywriting, and I think that's quite unique to have that understanding before even starting the projects or even starting a translation piece. It's not about, you know, transferring one language to another and just making sure that the words are fit and they're accurate. There are some projects that's what the requirement is, and that's you know, fully valid too. But a lot of the content that we do work on, we want it to perform and be impactful and effective. And mm-hmm. that just the understanding of the bigger picture and being able to have those conversations about like, what is the goal for this? What are the metrics you're trying to hit? That helps us in making sure that the right people work on it and the right approach is taken. So yeah,
absolutely.
I think also sharing data is something that I think we'll probably see more of, being able to understand, as you said, like, yeah, it might be a good piece of work, high quality, but what we really are interested in is how did it perform, right?
Absolutely.
It's also something that I always wanted to do. I remember, you know, like in the early days, 2006, when we were just a copywriting company, and then we got like the first request to translate stuff. You know, like one of the initial ideas was, hey, just do a Google translation of that copy and then give it to a copywriter in the other language, you know, so we don't have to work with translators actually. But of course, Google Translate back then was so bad still, so it was just not workable or not usable. And I think now is actually the time that that is possible. You know, like AI and the advancements in MT have been so good that you actually can use that. And it's an amazing result, but it just lacks the last bit. You know, it lacks heart and soul. And I think that's where we're going to make the difference. I think also you're going to see a lot of like creators who are feeling, what kind of content do I create to stand out from the whole AI content that's flooding the gates, you know? So you're going to see more super honest posts, more feelings, you know, outpouring feelings, everything that a machine just cannot dream of, because they can actually don't dream yet, right? So like, I think that's an real added value. And if you have people who can transform those ideas into great words or content, you're going to have amazing pieces of unique content. It's actually what VR Very is about, right?
Absolutely. So, and you hit the nail on the head, and you're correct in saying you need to have that environment where you have machines working with a human to make sure that, you know, delivering, you know, decent quality stuff. At least in what, you know, I feel like content in general, like the entire content that we produce globally, can be categorized in three categories, right? Low visibility, medium visibility, and high visibility. And I think your company is working with the high visibility content. You know, low visibility content, maybe you work on it, but you probably put a different process for that, but you're working in a high visibility content that requires a lot of attention, a lot of making sure that we address it systematically in the correct way. And I'm always reminded by, you know, those market research companies that they put surveys out, right? So they put a survey out for North America, and the same survey, not being localized, they put it in, you know, say a country in the Middle East or in Asia, et cetera, where, let's say we're asking a rudimentary question about your income level, right? So in Canada, in the United States, they start the income level at 50,000, whatever. And then you go to one of these countries and you're asking the same question. Well, these guys will not dream of that, you know, that particular level of income, right? So it needs to be, you know, these contents needs to be adapted to those languages. And also, you know, one of the things that we interviewed on this channel, a company from Israel called DeepDub. And, you know, the concept there is to translate to other languages that normally, or provide content in other languages that normally the world is forgotten, like say sub-Saharan languages, African languages, etc. So we tend to normally gravitate as an industry to the top 5, 6, 10 languages, maybe, right? If you do a statistics on what are the most consumable languages, maybe there are 10, maybe 12, right? The rest of them are very small numbers that we are translating to, which is, in my opinion, still the room for improvement, because the guys, you know, the population that is sitting in a low translation area, it doesn't mean they don't want to see the content. It doesn't mean that they don't want to consume the content just because the content is not available right now. There's a lot of areas that there's possibilities out there. But congratulations on such a great initiative, to be honest, Rinaldo and Christy. This is great. You know, I'm your biggest fan. If this is the concept you guys are going through,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really love this concept that you guys are coming up with. This is where the world is heading, and you guys are ahead of the curve right now. This is where everybody should be paid attention to. Before I, you know, close the recording, if you don't mind, Any comments from you, Rinaldo? We'll go to you first. Any last comments? Any recommendation for customers to reach out to you, or partners want to reach out to you? How do they do that? And by the way, if you don't mind sending me your links, I'll put them in the video descriptions and the audio description for people to reach out to you as well. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just can say that I'm very, very excited about all of this. And I think we do have a really amazing team ready for the future. And check out our new website, weareready.com. You can contact us there, connect with us on LinkedIn. Christy and I are always loving conversations about like the whole localization content framework, and discuss like what we can do on a conceptual basis. I don't know. I'm exhausted and super excited at the same time. It's
spoken like a typical entrepreneur.
I'm just really glad that we got out, and I'm very proud of the result that we have, and I hope you like it.
And Christy.
Yeah, I feel like we just, you know, went through months of a lot of work, but actually it's just starting now. So it's kind of, exhausting and exciting at the same time. And but I really believe that I actually don't think that this is a big, it's a big sort of new era for us, but in terms of what we are offering, what we are looking to do, it's not the biggest jump for us. It's actually very, very natural. And I think that's why we're really confident that this is where we should be heading into. We think that, as you said, the industry will catch up. And there's so many opportunities there to do things differently. And what you said about some markets like being underserved, I think that's also like, you know, typically, you know, localization, you want, of course, like things to perform, and you want sales, and you want, to be present in different markets. But it's also about, you know, having those markets accessing different products, different services, and being able to take advantage of what's out here. And if we can make that sort of democratize that a little bit by sort of catering to those places better, I think that would be a really, really cool thing to be able to do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for joining me today, Rinaldo and Christy. It's always a pleasure. It's a pleasure to see you. I met you the first time today, hopefully the first time in many to come. Hopefully you come back to the channel
with another. Where are you based, Robin?
I am based in Toronto, Canada.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, you know, be happier for you guys. This is great to have you on the channel. I really appreciate it. And to our audience, I want to thank you for listening in. If you're coming in on our audio podcast, and if you're coming in on YouTube, I want to thank you for watching. And I would really appreciate it if you can comment, share, and like the content that we're producing here. I'm producing on the channel. I was telling this to Rinaldo on the Army of One. on this channel, record, I edit, I do all this stuff, which is I do it out of passion for the industry. I've been in the industry for 21 years, and I want to continue doing this. And I do have other job, to be honest, but this is very something I'm passionate about, and I want to continue doing it. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming in and broadcasting your message here on the channel. And also, I want to wish you and your team at We Are Very and SuperText a great success, and I'm sure it will be great success. If you have anything to add, I'll give you a couple of minutes here before we close in.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. And it's great that, you know, the localization industry has this kind of platform to sort of talk about things in a very casual way. It's a lot of fun. So thank you.
Thank you, Christy.
Fantastic. Really, Robin, thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you. And to our audience, thank you so much. This is Robin Ayoub, Rinaldo Deitziker, and Christy Sakai signing off.